Good morning. Awesome music for an awesome Lord. Amen. I have one question for you, Pastor. One verse, really? Oh, okay. Okay. We are going to be reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3. If you want to read it with me, that's Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Should I take a little longer to do this? Should I? Okay. It's a beautiful scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Thank you. Let's be seated.
Introducing our series to the book of Ephesians. Well, I knew I was sort of heading for trouble on Tuesday. I was driving home from a visit and visitation, and I could feel, I think it was my right nostril was feeling very ticklish. And when that happens, it's always the right one. I don't know why that is. Isn't it crazy? It's feeling ticklish. And by the time dinner time came, it had hit the storm known as a cold. And I don't get sick very often. When I do, I really get it. And my eyes start to water and I start sneezing. And I excused myself from the company and went upstairs to get away from them. And then the next day, of course, it started getting worse, and I had a low-grade fever, and my bones were aching, and my muscles were hurting. And I just kind of plugged my way through the week. It was kind of disappointing. We were going to Pittsburgh on Friday morning. Fun opportunities here at the church. And began to think to myself, presently, and I caught myself and I said, you know, this is not a good path to go down, to begin to question the timing of something like this. I mean, is it ever a really good time to feel lousy, right? And the answer is no. But I caught myself and I said, you know, you start going down this path and the whole attitude thing towards the Lord, it leads to thoughts, it leads to all kinds of other things. Mainly it leads to things that are not pleasing to him and makes it really hard to praise him. What are some truths that will help us to praise the Lord kind of regardless of what's going on? What are some things about the Lord in our relationship with him that should enable us to thank him more frequently? When Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we see some reasons why we should thank the Lord even when things don't go exactly how we would like them to go. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We will skip the first two verses. They're introductory. And we will begin in Ephesians 1, 3. Just kind of real briefly, it's a new book, just a couple of comments. One author refers to the book of Ephesians as the Grand Canyon of Scripture. The Grand Canyon of Scripture. It's a magnificent book with truths that are highlighted here to a greater degree perhaps than any other book in the Bible. The Apostle Paul is in prison, but he's not despondent at all. You don't sense any downness in Paul as he writes Ephesians. Very uplifting book. A book that talks more about what it's like to be part of the family of God or the body of Christ more vividly and more detail than any other book. And so, despite the fact that he's writing from his prison cell in Rome, it is a book that really is summarized here in verse 3. Verse 3 of chapter 1 is the topic sentence of the book. And the rest of the book expounds upon our verse this morning. With that as a little bit of a background, let's look at some reasons to thank the Lord, to praise the Lord, perhaps even when we don't feel like it. Number one, we should bless the Lord. It's pretty profound, isn't it? We should bless the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word blessed is only used 8 times in the New Testament, and each time it is used to speak well of or to praise God. To speak well of or to praise God. It's the idea that we see in Job chapter 1, verse 21. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise be to the name of the Lord. We should speak well of the Lord. We should praise him because of who he is. And we're to do that from a grateful heart. A grateful heart, even if things aren't breaking the way we would like them to break. Even when things are disappointing, we can still have a grateful heart and praise the Lord because he's worthy of it. We should bless him. We should praise him. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 1 Chronicles 29, we'll turn to a few verses, and I must confess, I added a few verses later on in the week as I was convalescing on the couch. So if it's not in your outline, please just go with it anyhow. They're verses that came to my mind. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David is thanking the Lord for the people's generosity and giving towards building the future temple. Verse 10, therefore David blessed the Lord. He spoke well of the Lord. He praised the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. And you reign over all. In your hand is power. In your hand is might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. And here David blesses the Lord. He speaks well of the Lord or praises the Lord to the Lord because they had given the project. Verse 20, that David said to all the assembly, now bless the Lord your God. So all the assembly blessed the Lord God of their fathers. They bowed their heads. They prostrated themselves before the Lord and before the king. In Daniel chapter 4, an individual who we would not predict would bless the Lord began to bless the Lord, a fellow by the name of King Nebuchadnezzar, who came to his senses 7 years after being really an insane animal-like character. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 34, at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven. And my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High God. And I praised and I honored him who lives forever and ever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. I blessed the Most High God by praising him. And that's what Paul is saying to us here. He said it differently in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And so we should bless God. We should speak well of him. We should praise him because he's worthy, and we should do it from a grateful heart. But closely related to that is a second reason. We should bless the Lord. That's what we ought to do because he has blessed us. We should bless the Lord because he has blessed us. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Notice the tense of the verb, past tense, aorist tense in the Greek. We should presently bless or praise him because in the past he has blessed us. The difference being, when God blesses us, he does good things for us. When we bless God, we speak good things of him. So we should bless God, thank God, praise God, present tense, because of how he has blessed us, done well to us in the past. Very important link. In Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah 61, getting towards the end of the book of Isaiah, a phrase kind of jumped out at me. Isaiah 61, verse 8. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I would direct their work in truth, and I will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, then that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. Here's a name for the children of Israel, the people whom the Lord has blessed. Wouldn't that be the neat name of a church? What church do you attend? I attend the church of the people whom the Lord has blessed. Is that a cool name? I belong to the church that the Lord has blessed. But it's easy to forget that he has, past tense, blessed. That he has shown his face upon us. Remember what David said in Psalm 103? He follows the line of Ephesians 1:3 perfectly. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Praise him with my lips. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. And then David begins to list all the blessings, or some of the blessings of God. He forgives all of our iniquities. He heals all of our diseases. Praise God. He redeems our life from destruction. He satisfies our youth with good things. He satisfies us with good things that our youth might be renewed like the eagles. And he lists all these benefits. Forget not all of his benefits. Remember how he has blessed you, O my soul, in the past, so that you can praise him in the present. And get very specific. Remember his blessings very specifically. Because it's when we think about very specific things that our heart is filled with gratitude and we bless him with our lips. That is, we praise him. We can be a forgetful people, can't we? We can be a forgetful people. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning, James 1:17 says. And so we should bless God, praise Him, because He has blessed us by what He's done for us in the past. Now, here's the third reason, and I'd really like to camp out here a little bit longer than the others because it's so important. Third reason we should praise the Lord and have reason to is that the greatest blessings are foundational blessings. They are foundational blessings. It's my term. You won't find it in the Bible, but it speaks clearly to me what Paul is saying. We go back to verse 3 of Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. He did that, past tense. So the blessings here that Paul is referring to, first of all, are spiritual blessings. Now, does that mean that he doesn't bless us physically? I mean to tell you that he does bless us physically. I would not be here this morning if he did not bless me physically this week. He still cares about us physically. He still heals. But the main thing that we need more than anything else are spiritual blessings. Notice that it's every spiritual blessing. He's the source of every spiritual favor that has been poured out upon us and that will be poured out upon us, and that those blessings come from heavenly places. They come from heaven. They come from Him. And they're foundational. And the reason I call them foundational is there are certain blessings that come from God that because of those blessings, all kinds of other blessings continue to flow. You get the foundational blessings, and because of those blessings, they are the root of all kinds of other blessings. He has blessed us, past tense, with spiritual blessings. Every spiritual blessings which cause other blessings just to repeatedly flow our way. Well, what are some of those spiritual blessings? Foundational. We know what foundation, a foundation of a house, you build on the foundation. Foundational blessings are the same. So we come to Christ, we give our life to Jesus, we trust what He did on the cross. Boom, we got foundational blessings. Let's look at some foundational blessings. Ephesians 1, let's look at verse 4. Without stealing my thunder next week, let's look at verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. He chose us to have an intimate love relationship with Him, so that we would be holy and be able to stand in His presence forever and ever. Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, He predetermined that we would be His adopted children. To the praise of the glories of grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved, He accepts us as we are. He accepts us as nearly and dearly as He accepts His beloved Son Jesus. He predetermines that we're going to be adopted children. He chooses us to have an intimate love relationship with Him. And then He accepts us just as perfectly as He accepts His Son Jesus. Those are foundational spiritual blessings. And without those blessings, God would not bless you with anything else. You wouldn't get anything else. They're foundational. In 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, another foundational blessing. Verse 3, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. When we were saved, the moment we were saved, God granted us the power to have everything that we need to live a godly life. That is a foundational blessing. He gave us a new heart. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Without that, those foundational blessings, other blessings would not flow. Let's turn to one more, John chapter 1, just to show how blessings flow from foundational blessings. John chapter 1, verse 16. And of his fullness, that is Jesus, we have all received, and grace for grace, or grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, we receive grace upon grace. One gracious gift from God upon another. Because of the foundational blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus. We once were darkness, but now we are children of light. Walk as children of light, Ephesians 5:8 says. We are children of light. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, Jesus Christ. We are citizens of heaven, Philippians 3:20. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God will never again point a condemning, accusing finger at me. If God be for us, who can be against us? God is always for me. He's always on my side. And I'm persuaded there is neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creation that will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is through Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, no one, including me and my bad behavior, can separate me from God's love. Romans 8:1. 8:32, 8:38, and 39. So take that. Those are foundational blessings. And we got to be real careful that we see them for what they are. Let me illustrate that for you. Okay, after I'm done here, don't anybody think that Pastor Joe's not nearly as cool dude as I thought he was. Please don't do that, okay? But I'm gonna bare my soul. I'm going to be very honest here. You ready? The worst day of the week for me, every week, spiritually, is Monday. Every Monday. Well, unless there's a guest speaker. One of the privileges of being a pastor is the opportunity to preach. It is a wonderful opportunity. I love it. But it comes with a cost. And if you preach multiple times, and I've talked to other pastors who preach more than once, and I preach generally three times, twice Sunday morning, one Sunday, three times, you preach multiple times, you are thoroughly depleted. You feel there's nothing in the tank. You are dead on Monday, physically, emotionally, spiritually. There's nothing there. And so you wake up, and I'll read my Bible, and I'll spend time in prayer, and then I'll come to the office, and I'll spend more time in prayer mid-morning right here in the sanctuary. And when it's all done, instead of my spiritual needle being on E, it's up to 1/16th of a tank. It doesn't matter what I do. And you just feel, well, you know you're not yourself. And so you do your best to not mess up much, but your thoughts are what they are. And even nice things that someone might say to you, you can misinterpret them. Honey, how do you feel this morning? Oh, now come on, you're okay. And I will interpret that as she's telling me that I should be more of a man than I am, huh? Is that what that woman's trying to tell me? And that's just what goes on. And there's all kinds of sinning that goes on at the thought level because you're up to 1/16th of a tank and you're not yourself. And you just try not to sin by your lips and you just try not to sin by your actions because you know you're going to sin at the thought level. And this goes on until Monday night, usually around 8 o'clock, when I become human again. And I'm myself again. That's Monday. But here's what happens. Here's the cool part of the story. Usually sometime early Monday afternoon, maybe mid-afternoon or late afternoon, or at the dinner table, the Lord will do something that is so special. Just a real neat blessing. Something that you know, some people call it a love touch. Something that you know is a love touch from God. And so we ask ourselves, do we not? Why would God do that? Well, obviously it's because I've been such a model disciple on Monday. And so he does something nice for me. Because I've been so perfectly dynamic on Sunday, he's done something nice for me. Because I've been such a relational blessing to everybody that I touch on Monday, so he does something nice for me. No. Believe me, it's none of those things. It's because those foundational blessings never changed. I'm still a child of God. I'm still a citizen of heaven. I'm still a child of light. There's still no condemnation for me. God is for me. Nobody is against me when he's for me. And nothing will separate me from his love. None of those foundational blessings changed. Not that much. And we need to begin to see God like that. He's not a tit for a tat God. He's not, because you did this, I'm going to do that. Because you didn't do this, I'm not going to do that. No. He's gracious and he's kind and he's loving. And he treats me in ways that I don't deserve. Because that's just the way it is because of these foundational blessings. And because of that, we can praise him, can't we? We don't need to be hard on ourselves. We don't need to condemn ourselves because he's not going to condemn us. He's going to bless us. And so we should be praising God. Why? Well, we should bless God because he has blessed us. And the greatest blessings are foundational and they're not contingent upon our performance at all. At all. Which leads to the final reason that we can praise God when we don't feel like it. It's all because we are closely connected to Jesus. It's all because we're closely. And Ephesians 1:3 ends with the words, in Christ. The words, in Christ, in him, in whom, in Jesus, occur over 130 times in the New Testament. 14 of those times in Ephesians chapter 1. Pretty important theme in this chapter. We are in Christ. We are closely united to Jesus. We are intimately locked into the person of Christ. When God looks at you, he looks at me, he sees Jesus. He treats us like Jesus. You say we don't deserve it. Well, that's a good thing we don't get what we deserve, right? It's a good thing we don't get it. Because I live, Jesus said, you shall live also, John 14, 19. I'm going to live closely connected. Verse 4, just to show how far this in Christ goes and what happens to him. Verse 4, but God is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead, we were alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together, and he made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Jesus is at right now at the right hand of the Father. And that's a position of authority. That's a position of great authority. And in God the Father's mind, we are seated at the right hand of the Father with Jesus in a position of authority. And so, as we will see as we go through the book, we have the authority of Christ because we are in Christ, so closely united to Jesus that when God the Father looks at us, he sees us sitting at the right hand, his right hand, with his son Jesus. That is a position. His position has become our position. And so there's all kinds of reasons to thank God. We should bless him with our lips because he has blessed us by what he has done. And the blessings that he's given us, the most important, are foundational. Nothing can change them. And so when the Father blesses us, he's really blessing his son Jesus because we are so closely united with him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places because we are in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. And really, our thanks are inadequate. Not only, Lord God, in terms of our salvation, but after we are saved, we are unworthy of the goodnesses that you bestow upon us. We don't earn them. We don't deserve them. Their grace. We thank you for your grace, which is amazing. It not only saves our soul, it sustains us, and it is the source of your blessings that you shine upon us. Forgive us, Lord God, the times where we are feeling sorry for ourselves or we get our eyes off of you and your goodness and we are consumed by the things that are happening around us. It happens to all of us, Lord. We pray that it would happen less frequently. We pray that it would happen not as long when it does happen. Help us to see that you are worthy to be blessed, to be praised. And we will have an eternity to express that to you. And in the meantime, help us to practice here and to get better at it here and now. We ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.